We thank God for another good morning that we can gather. And, many times we come to the throne room of God and we come with our own plans and expectations and directions. But then there are times that God also calls us to look at certain areas and other things that is important for us to know and to teach. And as we saw from the announcement in the group, and this is from the parent church, and we are a branch of AG Church, that there's a start of 40 days of fasting that will start today on 14th February up to 28th of March. And one of the things that it's good to understand, I will say, what is the real purpose of fasting? And by that, what are the types of fasting that we have? We'll try and understand what is the place of fasting, and is it relevant in the kingdom of God? Is it relevant for the New Testament believer? And how should fasting be done in view of what God teaches? Now, it's actually a topic that has been on my heart, and I've actually been trying to like find the bearings of it. And that's because a lot of the reasons why I felt fasting was necessary were being corrected by God to me. Now, what we define fasting as basically is the abstinence and the denial of pleasure, of food, of distractions, water and various aspects that distract us. And this can be done in various ways, and there are various things that are done in the process of fasting. And this is usually an opportunity that people have used to seek God and also to understand him in a deeper way. Now, what we learn from scriptures is that there are two kinds of... Okay, I'll classify it this way. There are various forms of fasting, but I will... And that's the various approaches that people do. I can say, for example, there is a fast that is... a day of fasting, which could be where someone fasts for one day, and in that day from morning to evening, that's from dawn to dusk, as in from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and where a person decides that they're not going to take, any food and water. And that is what we call dry fasting, where there is no specific food item that is taken, and even water. And others can do it for 24 hours. Others can do it for 3 days. Others can do it for 6 hours. And all these are always dependent on a person's capacity and a person's ability and a person's training in it. Now, there's also the fasting that involves abstinence from food, and this is where someone does not take food but takes water. Now, that is a form of fasting. And there's also a form of fasting where, and this is actually the way someone takes water is actually the most common type of fasting. And this is actually usually the most common advisable, where you can keep taking water because medically your body needs needs water to survive, and anyone who does dry fasting is advised not to do it beyond 3 days. And this is where we talk about taking or not taking food and water. And based on that, so fasting, water fasting, basically where you can take water and dawn to dusk, and you have a light meal in the evening. And this is not something that now you compensate in the evening with you know, with now all, you know, like where you can find someone, you can find someone, either they compensate early in the morning before 6, so by 5:30 they're in the kitchen cooking a heavy meal and eating just before 5:59. And then there is a fasting where then at around also 5:59 p.m. they are just walking near the kitchen, just, and they have already even warmed the food, and they are just waiting for 6 o'clock to clock, and then they eat. And even if people are eating during the day, they will be like, please don't take my chicken, and put it aside. So in essence, that guy who was fasting like that was not fasting really, but the person was just adjusting the meal times. So instead of breakfast, normal breakfast, it was done before 6 a.m. and it was heavy breakfast, and then lunch was shifted from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. and it is done with lunch and dinner. So in essence, the person just adjusted the meal times and did not actually, I will not consider that fasting. Okay, it could be, because at the end of the day, it's God who accepts our fast or not. So let me not judge, but I will say that if you purpose to fast, then you have to think of it as more of a time of separation between you and the Lord. Okay, let me finish the various forms of fasting. There's also night fasting, nightings, where you can spend the whole night instead of sleep, and you're just meditating on God's word, praying the whole night, because in that time you fasted your sleep, because you should have slept ideally, but you decided to give that time to the Lord. Then, and there's also 7 days fasting that can be done, where you have to take water. And then there's also 21 days fasting, where, like, now another, yeah, an example of Daniel of fasting is the Daniel's fast, where Daniel fasted 21 days, but the Bible says that he decided to take away pleasure, and he only ate vegetables. He did not eat meat or take wine or anything that was pleasurable, and he just ate fruits, you know, vegetables. And even that fast is also a fast, because you are denying yourself things that you will normally have eaten without a problem. Huh? And then all that, then there's also the 40-day fast, which I call the supernatural fast. Why is it supernatural? It's because there basically it's only 2 people, I say, who manage that. We usually say 3, but from scriptures what I see is, I will say it's Elijah and Moses. Elijah was fed by the angel. He was given spiritual food, and then he was told to walk and go. And he walked for 40 days until he reached Mount Horeb to hear the voice of God. So that was a grace-empowered spiritual fast that took place for 40 days. So he did not, after he was fed spiritually, he did not eat or drink anything for 40 days. Then Moses also, when he went to meet the Lord to receive the law, he also stayed on the mountain for 40 days, where he did not eat or drink, and there he also had a supernatural fast. Scriptures tell us that when Jesus went for 40 days in the wilderness, where he was led by the Spirit of God to fasting for 40 days, then this was, the Bible says, and he ate nothing. Now, people can argue that he could have taken water. And that's the belief of many people, that he fasted. Yes, he took water in the 40 days, but he did not eat anything. Because the Bible says that when the 40 days were over, he hungered. You know, after the temptation, he hungered. He didn't say that he thirsted. And so it's possible that he went the 40 days of fasting without taking food for 40 days, but he, because the Bible says he ate nothing. That's the limitation of the words that scriptures give us. We can see that the key word there, he was led by the Spirit of God. Now, we must always ask ourselves, how should fasting be done? Now, fasting should be by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the question would be, how does God lead you through the Spirit? God can lead you through the Spirit either by speaking to you directly or by speaking to your leaders who God has placed over you. Because remember, we said we are in a body, and in any body there's authority that God has given, church authority that God has given. And these authorities and these leaders may give guidance to the congregation to fast for specific reasons. And if you submit to the leadership of them, then you would also be guided and obey, and you will fast alongside the what they have asked you to do. Now, fasting should not be a tradition on the basis that you say, no, our church fasts every year for this time period, and it becomes like a rule and a doctrine of men that everyone must partake of it at that time, and it becomes something for pride, something for competition. And you will find that there are people who do it not because they feel that they should at that time, or that God has asked them to do it, or they are led of the Spirit of God at that time, which I've said there are various forms of being led, but they do it because they see others are doing it, and it becomes a copycat, and it misses the main purpose of the fasting. Also, fasting should not be a hunger strike. Why do I mean by that? If you're basically skipping meals and you're not replacing that time with actually eating of spiritual food, then basically you are doing a hunger strike. And because there are various forms of fasting that are being done in the world. There are those who take coffee, I've forgotten what it's called. They have their intermittent fasting, and they're using it to lose weight. And of course, there are various benefits that fasting gives in terms of your health. I mean, if you're actually sick and you start fasting away from sugar, taking away certain things, you can actually regain your health and reverse medical conditions that you might be having. So fasting in itself is a physical principle that has physical benefits, but as well also has spiritual benefits. And I will add also that, so what I'm trying to say is that there are various results of fasting and there are various benefits that fasting do. But what I can define fasting ideally should be in the kingdom of God is actually a time that you allocate, a season of separation, a time alone with God, where you have purposed it specifically to have greater intimacy with God, greater intimacy with the Father. And it's actually a time that is led by the desire of God. God will create a hunger for you, in you, to seek His presence. Not that you are you're not in His presence, but you feel there's a deeper longing for you to pray more, for you to allocate time to study God's word more, for you to be, you know, to have time to be joyful. And it is actually led by the Spirit of God. It is grace driven, And as I said, it should not be a tradition or rules taught by men, but it should be, it can be guided by the spiritual leaders, it can be guided by the Holy Spirit directly to you, it can be guided by the Word as you read it. And it can also be at a time, you know, after maybe you have received an encounter with the Lord, you know, or where you, after a conference, you know, after a teaching, it can be regular, it can be once a week. You can decide once a week, I'll be fasting once a week. And I think the Pharisees fasted, I think it was it once or twice a week? I've forgotten. And Jesus told his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. So ideally, to Christ, he was like, ideally once you should a week. But of course, that is to be led by you. That is a conviction and a leading that God should convict you in and guide you in, because some people can fast 40 days at the beginning of the year and then don't fast again. And someone can fast once a week, every week, and will have fasted 52 days in a year. Or someone will fast two times in a week, or someone will fast every 3 days of the fast of the month, at the beginning of the month or at the end of the month. And these are various forms that people apply. At the end of the day, it is for you to be sensitive to God and to hear to God what is God asking you to do. And I've said fasting ideally must be focused on a time for eating spiritual food and to be fed by God. And you can see that Jesus, after he had had the testimony of God that this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased, he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tested of the devil, and there he fasted. We have seen also fasting is for deliverance, where when the Israelites, you know, like Esther, where when they were facing trouble, they purposed to fast, even including animals and things like that. Even Nineveh, they fasted 3 days. Even the animals could not drink or eat anything for the 3 days, and God had mercy. So there are times where you feel that there's something that needs to be broken. There's a yoke that needs to be broken. There is something that you're fighting, and there are things that, and God leads you to actually fast. In that time, he wants you to allocate more time to hear from him, more time to commit it to prayer, because one of the things that we will learn is that God really partners and desires to partner with us in our prayers. And I believe that fasting, there's also the teaching that fasting is adds on to, you know, it results in anointing, in that we can see that it's a way that you can fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Basically, how can I say it? You know, when Paul asked Timothy, fan into flame the gift I've given you. And one thing that the apostles found out, and you can see that in Acts chapter 13, is while they ministered unto the Lord. So it's a form of ministration unto the Lord. With praying and fasting, the Lord said, set apart for me Paul and Barabbas to the work to which I've called them. And after they finished praying and fasting, then they prayed and laid hands on Paul and Barabbas, and they were commissioned. So it's a form, it's a way that you can minister unto the Lord. It's a worship unto the Lord. And it's a denial of yourself, denial of your body, denial of your pleasures, denial of food, denial of water, denial of sleep, denial of Facebook, denial of social media, denial of basically things that might have formed idols in your heart. And I would say some of the results of fasting is that it results in an increase in anointing, in that an increase in the gift that God has given you. Fasting should not be, the end result of fasting should not be that you are fasting for anointing, because then you will be a slave and you will be rebuilding what you destroyed. But if your fasting is for intimacy, the reward of intimacy is that the anointing is increased. Fasting as well also results in breaking of yokes. But if you understand the teaching of Christ, you know that he breaks the yoke. When we take his yoke is light. So there's already breakage of yokes. There's already all legalities and accusations and generational issues are nailed and are defeated on the cross. So in your fasting, it is not to break the yoke, but it is to agree with God in what he has already done. And as you give thanks and as you reflect and meditate on what he's already done, then the yokes are broken. And any generational issues are further broken. Fasting will also result in an increased hunger and your growth, spiritual growth. Now, remember that growth comes by God's grace. The end result, if you're fasting to grow, then you might ascribe the power of your growth to the fasting. But Paul realized that one plants, another waters, but it is God that gives the increase. So I'm trying to ask your heart, where is your heart in the fasting? So fasting can result in power. Yet it is not power that we should seek for power's sake, for anointing's sake, to be the most powerful preachers or apostles, but rather is that Christ should be glorified. If your end result that you're like, God, I want Christ to be glorified in a greater way, and he leads you to fast and it results in power, and which is what one of the possibilities, then it is something that you give glory to God. Fasting also results in favor. You know, Esther needed favor with the king, and when she fasted, it resulted in favor. Now, when you're about to do an interview, it will be advisable to actually fast. Why? Because it can result in favor. Now, but that should not be your end goal. But your end goal, as I repeat again, is your intimacy with Christ. If you focus on quieting your spirit, fasting is really a time for you to quieten your spirit and not to give in to distractions. I've also been learning that fasting can also be a time when you're doing the will of God. What do I mean by that? If you read Isaiah 58 from verse 5, 6, 7, there it says that, is this not the kind of fasting that the Lord chooses, you know, to take care of the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to break the yoke, you know, to take care of your own family. You can imagine even God himself is like, a kind of fasting that I choose is when you even take care of your own family, when you clothe the hungry, when you feed the poor. So that means the same thing that you would have done for yourself in this time, you allocate the same resources that you would have been eating, that meal that you would buy in a hotel or something like that, and you allocate it to actually take care of the needs of others. Now, if fasting results in you mistreating your servants, in you fighting, in you, you know, committing injustice, then that is not a kind of fasting that God receives. And I think there's a place in Zechariah where it speaks of there's a fasting that God will say, that one you fasted for yourself. You did not fast unto me. You can imagine God can just say that, oh, you are fasting. Yeah, that's Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5 to 10. It says, speak unto the people of the land and the priests and say, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even those 70 years, did you fast unto me, even to me? And when you did not eat, and when you ate and when you drank, did you eat for yourselves and eat for me, for yourselves, and drink for yourselves? You know, so like God was like, you guys, at the end of the day, what I desire is justice, mercy, and compassion, showing mercy to your brother. Do not oppress the widow. Do not oppress the fatherless. Do not oppress the stranger. So a lot of fasting is done as an outward show. You find people are, you know, walking in sackcloth, you know, pouring ashes. I know there's a place for that, but it is done in a way that people should see their fasting. But how did Jesus say, when you're fasting, wash your face, apply oil on your face, let it just be between you and your God. And the thing that is done in secret, God will reward in public. So there are things that you do in the secret place. And unless, of course, it is announced by the church and it's a season that is going through, the best form of fasting is actually done when no one is knowing. And it's because it's something that you're doing so secretly with your God, and it's a commitment that you're giving to God. And just as I said, you remember when they were trying to cast out the demon, and Jesus told his disciples, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And of course, there are two interpretations to that. There are those that believe that the greater demons need greater fasting and prayer, and yet they forget that all the demons are under our feet, and it is just knowing your position, authority in Christ. And I believe the true interpretation of that, Matthew 17, is actually he was addressing the unbelief in the disciples. And so when you spend time with God, meditating on his word and in prayer and in fasting, then you cast out any unbelief and you build your faith that enables you to cast out and to overcome any challenge that you're facing. So it is about finding a balance where you're telling God, my building, which is my body, is available for you. Anything that wants to distract me, I want to silence any voice that is not of you, and I just want to hear your voice alone. It is actually a time of separation. And the end result is even the ministration of angels, that angels come to give us messages, to give us spiritual food, to give us direction, and to be led of God. So fasting clears your ears and your spiritual ears to hear the voice of God clearly. Not that the voice of God cannot speak to you if you're not fasting, but I'm just trying to bring our hearts to the place that where the kind of fasting that God accepts. And that's why it says, and which is the theme of our fasting, Joel chapter 2 from verse 12, it says, return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments. Rend your heart and not your garments. What does that say? Tear your heart. Break your heart. Let your heart be broken before God and not your clothes. Not the outward expressions that people see, but let it be the inward expressions of a broken heart. And that, I believe, is the fasting that God accepts and he receives. And even as you purpose individually to seek the Lord, and in this time, and I know maybe you've come from one and you're being asked to enter into one, and maybe you decide you're not able to do it. It is not something to condemn you. The Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. Let's say you start to fast and a day comes and you're unable to and you break your fast. It should not be a time of condemnation, because your fasting was to your Father. And if the devil tries to condemn him, tell him, if I have an issue, the issue is with my Father, not with you. So that is the understanding that you must have, that it is you and your Father having intimacy. And it should be actually a joy. The same way that that giving should be a joy, everything that you do with your Father must be done in joyful. So I think I will stop there. And I'm sorry I've not given you all the quotations where they are, because there's a lot of it. And I think Yemin, as you asked, just to understand fasting, it's just abrupt. It was not well structured. But I pray as you listen again, you will find areas that where the quotations are coming from, and actually structure it, and actually even ask God to give you more understanding as to why we should fast, and when and how, and to be led by the Spirit of God with regards to fasting. So I'll stop there and I'll allow your reflections. Yeah, you can come in. Yeah.
Thank you for that. I think this is good. It's nicely clear for me now. So that's it.
Okay. Any questions you have? You're good.
Another thing that I might check it, but I was thinking to ask you, but later I thought that no, I can check it. The question is that is there any specific day that is good for fasting, or any specific day you can, not need to continue fasting?
You can choose any day, but ideally it is wisdom to choose days that you are not going to be exposed to a lot of food. Don't choose to fast on a wedding day, and then because basically you will be telling everyone, no, I'm not eating, and it will just be a way of trying to show people you are righteous. Yeah, you understand? So apply wisdom in that. I mean, if you're going to visit someone, I don't think that will be a day that you will choose to fast, because you know you're going to be exposed to a lot of things and that. So that's how I would answer that, yeah. But okay, as you're led by the Spirit of God.
The reason behind that I'm asking that one, that in Bangladesh, there's a culture that, you know, that is a culture, I'll not say that culture, but people used to fasting, you know, as a Christian.
Yeah.
By following all the Gospels, messages. So, some people don't used to continue their fasting on Sunday, because you know that in Christianity Sunday is something special, prayer day, all those things.
So yeah,
is it something like that?
It's as I said, as you are led by the Spirit of God, feel free.
Yeah.
there are no rules or traditions about it. Feel free. If you want to fast on Sunday, I mean, I've talked with some of the colleagues. Some are Buddhists and they fast on Sundays. The Muslims fast 40 days in Ramadan. Others also fast pre-Ramadan. The Christians, some fast on Easter Day only. Others fast once a month. As I've said, others fast 40 days in the beginning of the year. Others fast 2 times a year. Others fast at the half of the year. So at the end of the day, it's there is freedom and liberty in Christ. That's just what I want you to understand. And it should not be struck with the traditions and with condemnation. I think that's you must clearly put it as a time for your intimacy with God. Yeah.
Maybe I'll
ask if Geoffrey has something to add, then we can close in prayer.
The major thing is my contribution in that area, particularly is what Joel 2:30 says, that you should reap your heart and not your garment. The both things represent the spiritual and the physical.
Yeah.
Fasting is about reaping your heart and not your garment, which has to do with your physical things. Pleasing man, pleasing the society, showing that you are trying to be spiritual, being religious, and also trying to attract sympathy.
Yeah.
Just like the Muslim do. So most things, all of them is like, so John chapter 2 verse 13 has totally separated the two.
Yeah.
In terms of the spirit and the physical. So that's my own contribution.
No, thank you for that. And I think that's very key. Rend your heart. It's your heart that starts it. If your heart is not in it, that's why Jesus was like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The moment your heart is not in it, and you forgot that you're even fasting, I think you've lost that day. But it is not for condemnation. It's just for you to recollect, reflect, and just go back to your Father and spend more time. That's basically what I'm trying to tell you, that in Christ there is no condemnation. There is the law of the Spirit of life that gives you life. You must understand you're dealing with your Father, and your Father loves you. Yeah, that's just, I think for me that has been what, trying to find the balance, and I think we thank God for the word. Geoffrey, sorry, Tabu, you had your hand up? Oh, it's nothing. Okay, fine. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name, we praise you, we thank you for your teaching today, for the wisdom that you've given us, not in words taught by man, but in words taught by you. And I pray that you shall continue to give us insight into this, and even as the season starts, the Lord, it shall be led and guided of you, and that you shall give us the grace to dwell at your feet, to sit at your feet. Indeed, you say only one thing is needed, to sit at your feet and to listen to you. And indeed, fasting gives an opportunity for us to sit and to listen at your feet. And I pray for your leading and for the church and for everyone to be strengthened in faith and in understanding. And may you feed us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed, amen. Have a blessed morning. Yeah. Bye bye.
Dr. Manuel.
Yes.
I'll still be on the call for a minute.
Okay, no problem. Just a second. Yeah. Let me.